Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Children are dismissed for Children's Church. Just singing that song, and I believe it takes me back to a story in the Gospels in Mark chapter 9 where a man brings his son to Jesus. He has an unclean spirit and has been mute, and even sometimes this unclean spirit throws his son into the fire. And Jesus just says to him in this way, he says, from childhood, it's often cast them in the fire, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out, and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's why I think it's good. Sometimes people are like, oh, modern worship music is, all it does is repeat, repeat, repeat. Well, there's a psalm that repeats too. If you go back and look at Psalm 148 and 149 and the loving kindness of our God over and over again. But I need that reminder. What do I believe? What do you believe? And that reminder again of God's goodness and who He is. And yet we all have that aspect of our heart and our life, that little section where we, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's a privilege to open up God's Word with you this morning. If you have a copy of it with you, would you open with me to the book of Ecclesiastes? We continue our series in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 today, week 10. We have 4 weeks left, chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12, and then we'll finish up in July there. Our study through Ecclesiastes, as we look and we see and we're reminded again the futility of satisfaction apart from God, that as we seek satisfaction in our life, it's really futile to do that apart from God, only through God. And so we look to chapter 8 here, and it's a reminder for us as we think about wisdom and the importance of wisdom and faith and how critical both of them are. It's kind of like this. Have you ever drove through a tunnel with GPS? I remember going down to Lene's graduation a couple years ago down at Liberty, and we had to go through endless tunnels, it seemed like. There were several tunnels, but through one of them, it was longer, and our GPS kind of just froze because it couldn't get a reading. It didn't know where we were, and it just kind of was like there. And then out on the other side, once we got through the other side, it was like, oh, I'll work again. And that's kind of how our lives can be and what we'll look at here in chapter 8 as we look at wisdom and the importance of wisdom. And yet wisdom can only take us so far. And it's kind of like being in the middle of the tunnel, and then you say, oh, okay, where are we and what are we supposed to do now? And that's where faith comes into play for us as we walk with Jesus. Kind of a picture of what we'll see here in chapter 8. So if you're willing and able, if you would stand with me and follow along in your copy of the Word, I'll be reading from the ESV. It'll be up on the screen as well behind me. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the command, the king's command, because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps the command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him, for he does not know what is to be. For who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observe while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried, They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for the opportunity to dig in this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit would move in our minds and our hearts, challenge us, convict us, encourage us, help us to be faithful, help us to believe in the truth of who you are, and help us to understand of how our lives should be lined up with your word and how your spirit leads us and guides us. So Lord, this morning we pray that your presence would be real amongst us. Move in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever done everything right or tried to do everything right and then you still had it go wrong? Yeah, maybe you sought wise counsel, maybe you prayed, you made careful decisions, you were seeking to obey God, and yet the diagnosis came, that relationship ended, the promotion went to someone else, or evil just seemed to win. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we see here, Solomon again reminding us, what do wise people do when wisdom doesn't answer all of life's questions? Solomon's answer here is to fear God, to keep fearing God. As we walk through this morning, we see this aspect in the first 9 verses here, that wisdom helps us navigate life. Wisdom helps us navigate life. Who is like the wise? The truth is, wisdom changes us. Notice what verse 1 says. Who is like the wise? Who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. Ever been around somebody who you would claim as wise? I'm not saying like the Three Stooges wise guy. I'm saying somebody who is wise, like intelligent, full of wisdom, knowledge, but has lived it out. There's something about being around them, isn't it? It shows. And that's what Solomon is saying. The wise has something that has changed them. Even their countenance is different. We see that wisdom, again, helping us to navigate life. It changes our demeanor. It increases our knowledge, but it produces what we see later on is described as the fruit of the Spirit. You think about how wisdom helps us understand gentleness, patience, humility, peace. Solomon's first example here that he gives us for wisdom is an example to submit to earthly authorities. He isn't saying governments are always right. Again, we like to read into this, and we'll come to our defenses of why we stand on whatever we were going to back up. I'm not here talking about politics this morning, even though it's okay to talk about politics from this scriptural perspective. All right. I'm not here to talk about that. What I'm here to talk about is that Solomon's giving us an example of what this looks like as we navigate life to be able to have wisdom. He isn't teaching us that government's always right. All right. He's teaching us that wise people understand that God has established authority. God establishes authority. We know from Scripture that God sets the king up and he tears him down. God is the one who puts authority into place. You say, well, no, people vote. Well, who ultimately is in charge? Do you believe that God is in charge? I do. I don't believe that we as mankind have that kind of power on the overall grand scheme of things. While God may allow things to take place, God never makes a mistake. He always has a plan and he has a purpose. So even in imperfection, and even though authority can be imperfect, God has a purpose. And we live in a culture that in many ways celebrates outrage. We're going to defend. We're going to fight. Wisdom asks this question: how do I honor God while living under imperfect leaders? Do you know that you have an imperfect leader that stands before you today? I hope you know that. Some of you nodded your heads a little bit too quickly there. But that's all right. I understand that. We all are imperfect, right? And yet there is a way that God has set up authority, and Solomon shares with us here this idea to keep the king's command, to listen to authority, a wise man. It is in tandem here together. That wisdom and part of learning life goes hand in hand with submitting to authority. Imagine this. Imagine that you're driving through a heavy fog. Wisdom is kind of like the headlights. Headlights don't illuminate 50 miles away, right? Like when you're driving through heavy fog, actually, if you turn on your brights, it actually makes it worse, right? Your high beams. And so you just leave them on the low beams. But as you're driving through the fog, you need your headlights and they just illuminate a little bit of area right in front of you. That's kind of how biblical wisdom is. Biblical wisdom may foreshadow what is to come, but biblical wisdom doesn't always give you what's coming down the road 200 feet down the road. It's very rare that wisdom will show you the whole future. Wisdom, good wisdom, godly wisdom, always looks to the future, always looks beyond just our circumstances. But wisdom, most importantly, gives us what we need to be obedient today. Today. So ask yourself this. How am I growing in wisdom? You need to grow in your wisdom. You need to understand how to grow in wisdom. Are you digging into God's word? Are you around people who are going to give you good, godly wisdom? How are you growing in wisdom? Wisdom is an important aspect. Solomon talks about it throughout. He also helps us understand the shortcomings of wisdom. And that's our second point here. Wisdom recognizes its limits. In verses 10 through 13, Solomon shares for us in verses 10 where he says, "Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and where they were praised in the city, where they had done such things. This also is vanity." Here were the wicked doing these things, thinking that they were okay. And yet, what was their sentence? He says in verse 11, "Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does an evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him." And in the next verse helps us to see, when we see people who prolong their life, even though they're living wickedly against God, and yet you see the righteous buried early. How is that justice? He helps us to see, but it will not be well with the wicked. Neither will he prolong his days like a shadow because he does not fear before God. Ultimately, he will face judgment. What we see, wisdom recognizes its limits. Solomon wrestles here with justice. He watched the wicked people prosper and good people suffer. This is not something new. We've seen this before in this book. The guilty are celebrated. The righteous are forgotten. Does it sound familiar? Verse 11 tells us, reminds us, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. We can often come to the conclusion that maybe God doesn't care or that justice isn't coming or that sin doesn't have a consequence. Why do the wicked people get to enjoy the blessings of life? It's an interesting thought, and as I read and study more and more of Scripture, I wonder this thought that I heard from one scholar. Sometimes God allows people to enjoy blessings so that he can elevate them high enough that it will hurt them when he humbles them. Here's some examples. You think about Pharaoh in Exodus 7 through 12, how God shows all of Egypt, he humbles them. God humbles them by the oppression of their false gods. Ultimately, as they oppressed Israel, God elevated them to the point where it hurt them severely. Think about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel in chapter 4, verse 33. We see here is this king of a vast empire, an empire like none other in all the world. And here's the king where Nebuchadnezzar goes out and looks and says, look at all that I've done. And yet this wicked king was humbled to the point that the king of the world at this point was eating grass like a wild animal outside of the palace. Physical blessing. Let me just warn you that if you're receiving greater physical blessings as you walk farther away from God, he may be placing you higher so that you would feel the sting even more as you walk away from him. The wisest man here on earth, Solomon, is still limited. Limited in what he sees at the end of this chapter, and he can't fully understand all of God's works. Our culture today mistakes God's patience for God's permission. Don't make that mistake. Okay? What God is patient and allowing doesn't mean that God has his blessing on it and says, that's okay. Understand too, as Solomon writes for us, delayed justice isn't canceled justice. I believe God's timing is perfect, and I hope you do too. God is never late. He's seldom early on our schedule. He's always on time. And so when we look at this aspect of justice, it's a beautiful thing to think about as we read later in the New Testament that God is so merciful and desiring that all would come to know him. That speaks of his mercy. That speaks of the opportunity that God gives for repentance. This morning, Nathan set up a courtroom for our children for their class. I thought it was fitting that he was filling in for the lesson this morning for Lene. And sure enough, it was about a judge and the courtroom, you know, leave it to an attorney and God and his great humor to set that up. But I want you to think about this as an illustration, a courtroom, there you sit. And sometimes that courtroom, you may sit as a trial lasts for months or sometimes even years. Sometimes it takes a long time for justice to even show up in a courtroom. But no one seldom ever says justice has just disappeared. It just hasn't yet arrived. It takes time. And again, as we think about God's calendar and what Solomon reminds us here is God is never late in executing justice. The third point that we see here is that faith trusts God when wisdom runs out. Let me go back and make sure that you have your fill in the blank there, okay? To submit where God has placed authority, understanding that we wrestle with justice. Don't mistake God's patience for God's permission. And again, understand where God has placed people and understand that he has a plan. Number three, faith trusts God when wisdom runs out. We see this in verses 14 through 17. I'd like to read those with you. It says, there is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said this, that this also is vanity. Notice verse 15 is again a reminder where Solomon has written several times. I would encourage you to look through the whole, read through the whole book of Ecclesiastes and underline this phrase where Solomon goes to over and over and over again when he can't understand, when things just seem so heavy and distraught in a way to say this is all vanity. We see there again in verse 15, I commend joy. Joy, really? When the wicked have perished and the wicked are lifted up and the righteous are perished and the righteous are being beaten down, but the wicked seem to be prospering. How is that? He says, listen, I commend joy. For man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him. And again, there's our key phrase. He said it once, and he's saying it again, under the sun. Our lives here on this earth. Faith trusts God when wisdom can't take us any farther. Man can't find out the work that's done under the sun. Solomon writes in verse 16, I applied my heart to know wisdom, to see the business that is done on earth, how in neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep. Then I saw all the work of God that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. The wisest man cannot explain everything. This is Solomon's great conclusion here. He didn't say, stop thinking. He said, stop pretending that you know everything. There are some people through my lifetime who acted like they knew everything. Ever been around those people? I like those people. They're pretty funny. Used to drive me crazy, but now I just laugh. Because you see the countenance of a person who's wise, there's something about a person who feels like they know everything. It just radiates off of them sometimes. And it's funny because I just chuckle sometimes because here, Solomon is saying, you're never going to know everything. And it's okay. It's okay that you don't know everything. It's okay that you can't see how God may be working in a situation. It's okay that you may not understand what God is doing in a specific place or with a specific person or a situation, yet you can do the one thing that God calls us to do, and that is to fear Him and trust Him. Faith is what pleases God. We read that in the book of Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why I believe Solomon is helping us to understand wisdom is important. The book of Proverbs helps us to see the importance of wisdom and grabbing a hold of wisdom and putting it around our neck and holding onto it tightly so that it may help us and guide us. But we know ultimately, again, there's a shortcoming of wisdom. There's a shortcoming as we live our lives. We are never going to know it all. And in that, it requires from us faith. Faith. So stop pretending that you know everything and understand that faith begins when our understanding ends. We'll never solve every mystery. There will always be unanswered prayers, unexplained suffering, unfair outcomes. And yet, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what happens in your life, God is still God and He will always be God. You are not. I am not God. And yet we get to enjoy this life. So place your confidence in God. Put your confidence in the one who's in charge and control of it all. Don't put your confidence in yourself or someone else or in a situation turning out just right. You will constantly be disappointed unless you place your confidence in God. And over the lifetime, over many situations and circumstances, as you glean knowledge and God gives you more wisdom, you start to see that God is faithful, even when you couldn't understand it. So stop demanding explanations. I see that's the big issue with Job. Job was a righteous and upright man. He feared God and all of his ways. There was no man like Job. And yet, as we read through the story of Job, the struggle that Job had was understanding, and he demanded an audience with God. He wanted some answers. And so let me encourage you that it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask of God, God, why would you do this? It's okay to ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me or show me? I think where we struggle and where we have to, a word of caution is when we start demanding things from God. So don't demand God's explanations. Understand that He is a good God. He loves you. He has a plan. And even though you may not see it in this very moment, He is worthy of your trust, of you following Him. And in the midst of a fog, that you keep your lights on and you're just following the road that He has. I love this verse 15, because in the midst of this chaos, in the unexplained, wicked, evil, good, righteous, and all is a vanity, He says, enjoy today's gifts. Enjoy today's gifts. We have that opportunity, as we are reminded here in verse 15, to eat and drink and to enjoy life, not because life always makes sense, but because God remains good. Enjoyment really becomes an act of faith, where we enjoy trusting that God has a good plan, that God is at work and that He's still on the throne and that He is still in control. And so enjoying is that act of faith where we trust that our Creator is working for our good. Do you know that fearing God is wiser than any explanation that you can get? Do you believe that? Fearing God is wiser than any explanation to your situation or circumstances. You probably don't need another explanation. For those of you who have children, you remember when they asked all those questions? And finally, when it comes to a point where you're just like, it is what it is, or you're going to do that because I told you to do it. No more explanation. We don't need more explanation. I'd like to propose today, I think we need a deeper trust, a deeper faith, a faith that says, God, help me to believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. It's kind of like a child flying on an airplane. The child doesn't understand the whole aspect of an airplane, how the lift, the thrust, the navigation, all the gauges, how the weather comes into play, all the communication. And yet, you see a child on a plane, they're happy, they fall asleep, not even giving a thought of what's happening around them. Their confidence isn't in understanding. Their confidence is that there's somebody flying the plane, a pilot. Faith doesn't need to know all the answers. Faith is knowing who's leading, who's guiding, who's controlling. When we think of injustice, it takes me back to our Savior Jesus. Jesus experienced the greatest injustice ever committed. He was the only perfect, righteous man to live on the face of the earth. And yet he was condemned as a criminal. If anyone could have questioned God's plan, it was Jesus. Yet he trusted his Father. And while he died 3 days later, what looked like defeat, he rose from the dead. Jesus became the redemption of our souls. And the resurrection reminds us that God will accomplish his purposes, even when we can't see. If God could bring salvation through a cross, he can bring answers. He can bring purpose. He will bring you through those unanswered questions. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to encourage you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you can do that today. He offers you a real relationship with him. And it's only because Jesus died, a righteous man for the ungodly. We deserve sin and death. That's the wage that was coming to us. And yet, we've been given a gift, the free gift of eternal life. Is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you placed your faith in him to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life and to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to allow him to guide you and direct you? I pray that you have. If you have, today is a reminder. Faith is required of us, not just for salvation, not just at that day, at that moment when we trust Jesus as our Savior, but it is ongoing where we need to grow in our wisdom, but also grow in our faith. Read scripture, seek counsel, learn from godly people. Don't despise wisdom. Honor authority. Wherever obedience to God allows, you honor that authority. Respect reflects God's sovereignty. Some questions will always remain unanswered on this side of eternity. Yet, faith understands that we don't have to have every answer. So enjoy today. Some of you are eagerly anticipating your lunch. And before you eat, pause and thank God for it. Enjoy your meals. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. We enjoy the worship. We enjoy God's creation all around us. These are not to be distractions. In fact, they are gifts from God for weary hearts. Think about this as I close. Hikers climbing up a mountain in a thick cloud. Halfway up, the visibility shrinks and he can only see about 10 feet in front of him. The hiker wants to quit because he can no longer see the top. He's weary, he's tired, he's exhausted. Yet his experienced guide says to him, "You don't see the top, but just look for the next marker." And so they continue to the next marker, still unable to see the summit. Hours later, the clouds suddenly break, and the summit that wasn't seen is now open and visible. Life with God can often feel like hiking through the clouds. Wisdom helps us to see that next marker, to keep going. Faith, though, trusts the guide. Faith is where we say, "God, I believe you when you say that you are this, that you are true, that you are righteous, that you are just." Faith says, "God, I believe that there is eternity in heaven for me and I will spend it forever with you." Faith trusts our God. One day we will stand before Christ. The clouds will finally lift. And until then, may God help us to walk wisely, to trust deeply, and to fear God. Not because we understand everything. Unfortunately, I've come to that conclusion. I'm not always going to understand everything. And yet, I'm okay with that. I have to be okay with that. Wisdom tells me what to do next. Faith trusts God when I can't see. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that wisdom teaches us, shows us how to live life. And yet, Lord, we know that faith is required of us as we walk this life. So grow our faith, Lord. Help us in our understanding, in the knowledge and the wisdom that we can glean from your word, from those around us who love you, who have walked a path before us. Lord, in those days where it just is hard and we're weary, Lord, may we just cry out to you. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, as we think of our lives here and now, may we enjoy the gifts that you've given us. May they not be distractions on this journey. And yet, as we think of it, Lord, may we understand that we have to view the end, and how we view the end should shape how we live today. So guide us, direct us, bless us, not so that we can take pride and arrogance in ourselves, Lord, but that those blessings may be turned into praise and thankfulness and adoration to you, and that it may be used as a testimony to those around us as we speak of your faithfulness, as we share of your goodness. Lord, I pray for those who may be sitting here, those who are listening today, who right now who are walking away from you, and yet they're still experiencing blessing, Lord, may you call them now before it hurts even more, Lord, to repentance. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of who we are, that it may not just be words where our hearts would be far from you, Lord, but may it be seen in us, through us, how much you love us and how much we love you. So help us to live lives that are full of wisdom and growing in faith. We pray this in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful week.